some of us might have made New Year's resolutions to be more on top of our finances. But things like budgeting, investing, and managing our money can sound boring or scary, and it can be hard to know where and how to start. Our guest today hopes to make it fun and easy to get on the path to personal financial well-being. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What financial goals do you have this year? What help would you need to reach those goals? What advice do you have for other people to manage their money? Was there something, a breakthrough you had at some point in your life that really helped you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Emily Guy Birkin is a financial coach based here in Wisconsin and co-author of the new book, Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. Emily, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I mentioned goals people might have for the new year. You and your co-author have an approach. You know, sometimes people might sit and write down goals. You say, yeah, sure, but do it as a timeline. How and why?
So timelining your goals is important because just writing down like, I'd like to, you know, have $1 million for retirement. I'd like to pay for my kids' school. I'd like to pay for my daughter's wedding, you know, any of those sorts of things. It's a good first start because, you know, getting it out on paper, putting it in words is a really good first start. The problem is that these things have to happen at a certain time. And if you don't put it down on a timeline where you actually kind of write out, all right, here I am now, I'm 35, I want to retire in about 30 years. How long is that going to take me to save up the $1 million I want to have for retirement? You are going to have this big dream without actually having the steps in place to figure out when it's going to happen. The other issue with just writing your goals without timelining them is that you may have some goals that overlap. So if, for instance, you're closer to retirement, you're in your 50s, and you also want to pay for your children's college education, unless you sit down and write it out in a timeline, you might not realize, oh my goodness, I plan to retire in the same year that Junior is going to be in his third year at school, at college. How am I going to be able to afford both at once? So putting things in an actual timeline and like looking at the dates of when you'd like to have things happen not only gives you the power to plan ahead and work around things that could be problematic, but it also helps you figure out, it naturally helps you figure out what's more important to you. So if you realize like, oh, you know, my kid's going to be in college, I can push back retirement a couple of years. That's okay. I don't mind. Or you could be like, no, retirement's really important to me. I'd really want to retire on time. What are other ways we could reach that goal to help pay for my son's college education?
Before we tackle some more practical advice, Emily, let's talk about the feelings we have around money. I know that's important to you. We've talked about it before. It's in your book. First of all, for those people who are maybe scared, fearful of confronting their finances head on and making that plan, how do you talk them down a little bit to set some of that fear aside and mm-hmm. start getting things done?
Yeah, one of the things that was really important to my co-author, Josal Sihai, and me was make sure that money is approachable. You know, so people who are interested in money are going to pick up money books every day. You know, they're interested in it. The folks who are feeling overwhelmed, intimidated, scared, they need something that is going to help them understand that money doesn't have to be terrifying. And so we wanted to write Stacked to be approachable, funny, fun, lighthearted, irreverent. And so that's one of the things that I also hope that readers will take away from it, that they can look at their money from a funny point of view, They can look at it instead of saying, for death, oh my goodness, it's terrifying, in which case they're going to avoid it. They can say, how can I make this fun? How can I enjoy managing my money? And changing that mindset so that they can look at it as something that they can find a way to really have fun with and jump into and be glad to be doing, instead of it being this very serious thing they have to avoid, is going to make a huge difference in their ability to manage their funds.
I'm another category, I think. My obstacle is when I start thinking about this stuff, it's kind of eye glazing and boring. And yeah, I know it's important, Emily, but how could somebody like me have fun with this stuff that I think of as, you know, about as much fun as, I don't know, flossing.
Well, it takes small steps. Yes. So the thing about money is we tend to think of it as, with anything complex, we tend to think of it as like, oh my goodness, I have to devote 3 hours to it. And the thing is, consistency is more important than any length of time. So if, for instance, you want to do something like start setting up a money meeting with your spouse or partner, your accountability partner, your roommates, your best friend, just say like for 10 minutes once a week, going to go over what we spent last week and what we plan on spending next week. And so that makes it a lot less eye glazing for one thing, because it's short, for another, because, if you get something you consistently do, and if you do it with an accountability partner, you do it with someone that you care about, then it's a lot more fun also, because, you know, just sitting down to do it yourself, you're always going to find more interesting, important things to do, or quote unquote important things to do. So this is one way to really kind of make sure that you're doing the little steps that you need consistently, rather than feeling like you have to do it all at once.
Talking to Emily Guy Birkin, co-author of the new book, Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. The super serious is kind of ironical there. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about how to tackle your financial well-being, how to make plans, something super specific? Or is there a piece of advice that really helped you somewhere along the way? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Emily, you write in the book, there are a lot of these apps out there that help us track our spending. And we could track every single penny we spend. But you and your co-authors say that's not quite enough. Why not?
I used to work with a woman years ago when Mint was brand new, and she was saying she loved it because, you know, she had information and it would create these pretty charts that showed her all the ways she'd overspent. So she's like, ooh, pretty, and anything with the information. So the thing about all of this tracking is that that's just a piece of it, and that's the piece that's automated. What needs to happen is the manual part, which is where you look at that information and you decide what to do, what changes to make in how you spend, how you allocate money, or whatever you do money management wise, because otherwise you're just following along all this information and doing absolutely nothing with it. And in fact, one of my favorite pieces of presidential trivia is the fact that Thomas Jefferson was a fanatical tracker of his spending, but he died in terrible debt because he wrote down every single thing he spent money on, but it didn't change his behavior in any way. And so he just tracked his way all the way into debt.
If we are in that situation where we're tracking our money, but finding ourselves in debt, how do we start to figure out where those leaks are, how we can stop doing the things that put us in debt in the first place?
So looking back over what you've spent money on, and that's where these trackers are great, the automated ones, the apps, mint.com, all of those. So looking back at what you have spent is really the best thing to do to figure out where your leaks are. So it's one of those things where it's very easy to forget how you've spent stuff. There have been times where I was like, I could have sworn I had about $100 in my wallet. You know, did someone, you know, steal from me? And then like all of a sudden thinking like, yeah, I spent $20 there. Oh, and about $40 there. Oh, yeah, I spent all $100. So if you've got something that's tracking for you, you can look at it, and they can be really helpful too, because they'll show you categories too. They'll categorize, and you'll be like, oh, wow, I spent $400 on takeout last month. That is where all my money's going. And then you can start thinking about that will remind you as you go forward, like, I don't want to do that again this month. So, when you're thinking like, I don't want to cook, I'll do takeout. Then you can go, well, I don't want to do that again. So how can I make some food? What are some leftovers I can eat? What are some things I could do instead of getting takeout and building up that huge amount again?
Emily Guy Birkin is with us, financial coach, co-author of the new book, Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. She's with us today for a look at personal finance and how what we do with our money and how we can have some fun doing it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about budgeting or investing? Do you have advice of your own that you give people about saving, borrowing, when to do it, not to do it, how to get spending under control? You could join in at 800-642-1234. Or if there's something you wished you knew when you were younger and you've learned it now, maybe you could help somebody else out. 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with financial coach Emily Guy Birkin. She's co-author of the new book, Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about overcoming some hurdles that you find when it comes to trying to get a handle on your money, if you need some practical advice or maybe some motivation, or if you've got some advice to share, 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Donna is with us in Wauwatosa. Donna, hi.
Hello. Say, I just have something that I kind of learned the hard way when I was in my mid-30s. When I started a job that had a retirement plan, with a match, I put in whatever they would match. And then every time I got a raise, I would increase that my contribution by 1%. And even though I only started my retirement savings in my mid-30s, I was able to retire early at 60 because of that.
Donna, thanks so much for that call and for the first call of 2022. There's no prize for that, but it's interesting advice. Emily, there's a lot to be said for taking advantage of the interest you collect if you start saving early, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's the power of compound interest is really an amazing thing. And, you know, Donna's story is a good example of how that works. For one thing, you know, starting in your 30s means that your money has, you know, she retired at 60, 25 years to grow. And that's an amazing amount. For example, if something grows at 3.5% consistently, it will double every 20 years. And so, you know, if you just imagine that at 8%, which is the amount that the market historically grows per year. The other thing is the behavioral aspect of increasing the amount that you send to retirement by 1% each time you get a raise is fantastic because you don't miss money that you haven't had. So, and you still get to enjoy an aspect of the raise, you know, so that you know that you are always adding on to what it is you're sending to retirement.
Thanks a lot for that call, Donna, at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Scott next in Menominee. Scott, hi.
Hi. I was wondering how common is it for that you might come across in any studies or something that you might know about for people to just spend money that they don't have and get themselves in debt. It seems like kind of almost a no-brainer to me sometimes, but I wonder if you might have any insights on that.
And so, Scott, before I let you go, you've managed to avoid overspending, it sounds like you're saying?
I've got, you know, rent's coming, you know, this is coming, you got to have food coming. You don't know what the prices are going to be on some things like food or gas, but you kind of know it's coming. So you don't go elsewhere and buy something else, or, you know.
Well done, Scott. Thanks a lot for the call. Emily, I imagine most people are not like Scott, or a lot of people. There's a fair amount of us who overspend, right?
Yeah, overspending is very common. There's a number of reasons for it. One is not paying attention. You know, if you're not paying attention to your money, it's very easy to forget, you know, about what you've spent on already. So if there's any kind of lack of communication between yourself and your spouse. So Joe, my co-author, tells a story of he and his wife both came home having spent quite a bit of money. She had bought school clothes for their children and he had bought some video games. And he likes to point out there's no saying which was more important. But that had overspent because they hadn't had a conversation. So that's something that can often happen if you're not on the same page with anyone you're sharing your money with. And then there's also the psychological aspect of it. People may know that they're overspending, but they feel like they need the psychological boost that they get from shopping or from spending money on things. And the thing about that is it's important not to shame people for being in that situation, because that overspending is fulfilling an important psychological need. And unless we recognize that and say like, hey, there's an emotional need there. Is there another way to fulfill it without spending money? You know, if we just go shame, 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 you shouldn't do that. That's not going to make the behavior get any better. And so all of those are some comedies ending. And I think it's really important for people to be gentle with themselves and figure out, you know, look at it with kind of curiosity, like an anthropologist, like why on earth did I do that? Mm-hmm. Or in the case of a couple saying like, why did this happen and how can we make sure it doesn't happen again?
Scott, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Emily, I want to hit that point a little harder because it's a theme that goes through your book. Look, we should look at our mistakes and not judge ourselves for them, but analyze them and learn for the future.
Absolutely. We all make mistakes with money. There is not a single human being on earth who has not made a mistake with money. And I'm including Warren Buffett in this. You know, there is all of us have done something where we're like, why on earth did I make that money mistake? Or I have put myself in a tough situation that I didn't need to be in because of a money mistake. And if we start from a place of anger or shame or self-recrimination, that makes it a lot harder to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and keep going. Whereas if you come from a kind of place of curiosity and go and a place of laughter, being able to poke fun at yourself for having made the mistake, that is going to make you much more open to the solutions that can really help you to make sure the mistake doesn't happen again so that you learn from it, and make you much more comfortable with the fact that mistakes happen and you can bounce back from them.
We're talking to Emily Guy Birkin, co-author of the new book, Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. Emily, let's say, okay, we've got those immediate needs met. We've got some money saved up for the things we want to do in the short run, and we're ready to try investing. And that opens up a whole new bunch of questions. How do we start to matchmake between our future needs and the zillion investment opportunities out there?
Well, one of the important things is to remember it's not about the zillion investing opportunities out there. You don't need to know about all of them. You need to know about the ones that are going to be right for you. And so that already narrows your focus. Instead of feeling like, you know what, I got to go get a PhD in stock markets. No, you don't. You just need to know what's right for you. So that's part of where timelining comes in. So what's right for you starts with like, how much am I going to need and when am I going to need it? Okay, what kind of investments will get me to where I need to be when I need to be there? And then you can start asking yourself like, how much risk do I feel comfortable taking on with my investments? What kinds of things provide a level of risk versus return that will fit with what I'm comfortable with? So it's much less intimidating than it needs to be. It's much more intimidating than it needs to be often. And one of the things that I liken it to is a little bit like the first time you out on a date, it's terrifying because you feel like, oh my goodness, I've never done this before and I'll die of embarrassment if they say no. But if you end up being very friendly and just chatting with people a lot and regularly asking people for coffee and just meeting new people, any one person you ask out is no big deal. So similarly with investing, if you get started with the idea like, oh my God, I have to get this right or everything will just fall apart, you're not going to feel comfortable with investing ever. So if you start with like, okay, I'm going to learn a little bit about this. I'm going to invest $50 because I know I can afford to lose $50 and I'll see what happens and I'll learn from that and then kind of keep going from there and grow and grow.
Time for one more caller. Randy is with us in Preston, Minnesota. Randy, hi.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It just strikes me that as you talk about, you know, investing and dealing with your money and everything, it seems like you're kind of ignoring that about 70%, the last thing I saw, 70% of Americans or adults can't survive a $400 to $500 emergency. That it, you know, their car breaks down and they can't get it fixed. They lose their job because they can't get to work, and I mean stuff like that. And
I got you, Randy. We just have a minute or so left, and Emily, I know people in that situation are very much on your mind. Do you have some thoughts for Randy?
Yes, you're absolutely right. There is a huge number of Americans who cannot afford a $400 emergency. And that's exactly who this book is for. When you are living paycheck to paycheck, it can feel like it's impossible to get ahead. But the fact is, you don't need to get to a point where you're stable to be able to get stable. We want to tell people that even if you're living paycheck to paycheck, even if you're in a situation where you don't know how you'd pay for an emergency, you still can make changes to help you get ahead to the point where you feel a little more stable, and then you can get to where you can start thinking about things like investing and the kind of 201 level money stuff.
And just in our last half, thanks for that call, Randy. In our last half a minute, Emily, that brings us back to the point we started with. Wherever you are, be ready to confront your current money situation.
Absolutely. Make sure that you are ready to look at what the problem is and be able to deal with what the problem is, whether that's not having enough money, in which case, you know, figuring out how to deal with that specifically, or if it's a money mindset issue and figuring out how to kind of confront the way that you look at finances.
Emily, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Emily Guy Birkin is a financial coach and co-author of the new book, Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management.